They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me today on the Commons is the lady of the hour, Judy Thomas. Judy is a reporter for the Kansas City Star, and she has just shaken up the entire HOA world in one single day. Judy, thank you so much. I know you're busy, but thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us today. And thank you for the amazing series of articles that you did. And also thank you to the Kansas City Star for having the backbone and the courage to print it and stand behind you.
Thank you, Sue. It's good to be here.
So how was it? You've been working on this series for a long time, like 6 months, right?
Yes, off and on even more than 6 months. But yes, it's been going on for quite some time. And I've learned an awful lot, and I hope that we've helped educate our readers as well.
You started off, and I don't know why you started off or whether you were getting a lot of calls from a lot of people or what the deal is, but what did you expect? Did you run across exactly what you thought you were going to run across, or was this different?
Well, I'll tell you how this kind of came about. And 3 years ago, actually, we got a call from a homeowner in one of the homes associations here in Overland Park, Kansas. And she had talked to an editor and was hoping to get the Star interested in looking at the issues that were going on out there. And it was Nyla Ridings. I know a lot of people have heard of her in the HOA movement. And she had talked to us, and I talked to her, and it just so happened that shortly after we talked, Ward Lucas had been in Kansas City. He's written a book as well about HOAs called Neighbors at War. And he had come, I believe, to do a home show here in Kansas City. His book had just come out.
Yeah.
And so I discussed the issue with him as well and just thought at the time that it was something that needed to be looked into. I cover other beats, and I had some issues come up on other beats. Ended up working a year on a project with another colleague on child welfare, another important issue. And then last year, or in 2014, got started on another issue that took another year. And so I finally was able to get back to this. And in the time that had passed, when I started looking back at what was going on with homes associations, I saw that there were a whole lot more stories out there,
yeah,
a lot more interest, and hearing from horror stories from people, but also just the fact that the numbers of people living in them had escalated even more, and the number of HOAs has skyrocketed over the last couple of decades. So we just thought that was enough to start looking into the issue.
So did it take a lot of convincing to get your newspaper to back you up? Because obviously it's going to take a lot of backing up. You can't just walk in and do this on your own, right?
No, exactly. When we started on it, we had no idea that it would take this amount of time. I will say that. We originally had probably figured on a few months. But the more you get into this, as you probably know,
The
more you find out, the more stories you hear. And we wanted to talk to as many people as we could as well. So we've talked to people all over the country about the issue. And so, yes, I did have the backing from the editors, and so many of us live in homes associations as well, so we knew that this would be widely read, or we hoped that it would, and that we really hope to, like I said, educate people about what it involves.
You know, it's funny you say that, because the other day I was thinking about a conversation I had with another radio station. I had called them up and said, this is about 20 years ago when I was doing another show. I called them up and I said, would you be interested in having a show about HOAs? And the program director said, no. He says, I don't live in one, therefore there are no problems. Nobody lives in one. Nobody's interested. Goodbye. I
wow.
go, well, that's small-minded. The station is no longer there, but, you know.
I think one of the more fascinating points, or well, there are a lot of interesting statistics, but one of the more fascinating ones is that 80%, and actually I'm told that it's even higher in some areas, but 80% of new developments, new housing starts, are in an HOA. And as you know, it's hard to find homes in some areas that are not in HOAs.
Well, where I live, you know, the statistics about 20 years ago were 90% of all housing in Fairfax County were in HOAs. I think now it's much higher than that, because not only are everything they're building is in an HOA, but the stuff that is not in an HOA is being torn down.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, because you see, in the old days you had a house on a quarter of an acre, half an acre.
Uh-huh.
And you had some land. I mean, that was part of the American dream. They wanted some elbow room. They wanted to get away from the urban center and give their kids a pet and have them have some space to run around and have the purple tree houses and the
right.
swing sets and all of that. I mean, that was part of the American dream.
Right.
And now what they're saying is, nope, you can't have it, because that's a bad use of time. That's not smart growth. So we want smart growth. So they're forcing people out. Haven't heard of too many eminent domain issues, but mm-hmm. they're going in and they're taxing them to such a point. What they do is they rezone it. So if you're sitting on a
uh-huh.
house that's too, you know, R2, zoned R2, uh-huh. then they'll rezone it. They'll say, if we just put all these houses together, we'd end up with 10 acres. And if that's 20 houses, and if we rezoned this to condominiums or a high rise, and if they were luxury, they would be so much. So our income or our tax revenue would be so much. So then they'd start taxing them as if this is what they had.
So they're building the more high density properties then.
So they're building
more people in them.
Yeah, and so they're making it impossible for the people who have the land.
Oh, okay.
To hang on to it. It's a financial war. You can't have that much land. You're being selfish. We need that space. We need the tax dollars, so get out of the way. And so it gets to the point where they do sell it. A developer comes in. The developer's buying it for the land. They don't care about the house. They're going to tear it down anyway.
Okay.
And so they're redeveloping everything.
Okay. One of the things that we found out was, I know that a lot of the proponents of HOAs say that they help property values, and I've heard that from a lot of the people. We've gotten a lot of reaction, and I've heard that from some people who live in them. But we are finding that sometimes an HOA is not a good sell. The main selling point now to some people is no HOA.
Right.
And we talked to a real estate agent who said that when she sees HOA, she steers clear of those, because she said a lot of people are now asking her to find places that are not in those.
Yeah, and I think that the thinking is that it's going to make sure that somebody cannot have a purple a swing set in the backyard. I mean, mm-hmm. and that's why it's going to preserve property values. But beyond that, some people want the amenities.
Yes. And, yes, that's exactly right.
But you can have the amenities without having the HOA. You can have Pools R Us or Off the Deep End come in and build a pool in your neighborhood
mm-hmm.
and charge you if you want to use it. So that your
I know there's yeah.
So that
yeah.
your host
home is not held hostage to making sure that that pool is well maintained.
I know there's some concern now. I came across that in some of the HOAs that I have talked to, that some of the property management companies are also taking care of the pools in those HOAs, and there had been some concern about that as well.
Mm-hmm. Double dipping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. And where I live, Northern Virginia, we're sort of bordering Maryland. So if you have a manager who also has a maintenance company, they're hiring, that's in Maryland, they'll hire them and then charge you, you know, travel time between two states.
Oh, okay.
And then when the board members find out about it, the homeowners find out about it, they cry foul. But we've had that in the past. Yeah.
I hadn't come across that one here yet. So I'm sure I haven't been through all of my emails yet either, so I'm finding out a lot of new stories as I go. So.
Yeah, you also have a website or an email address asking people to send in stories. Has that been getting
correct.
A lot?
Yes, I've had hundreds of messages since, let's see, the stories went up online last Wednesday
mm-hmm.
and Thursday, and then they ran in the newspaper Sunday and yesterday. So I'm still getting just lots of responses. And the website, or I'm sorry, the email address, if anyone wants to send an email, is hoa@kcstar.com.
It's hoa@kcstar.com, right?
Right.
And are you going to be doing follow-ups?
Oh, yes. In fact, I'm working on one this week. I think we'll do kind of a general story about the responses. We've gotten them from all over the country, and just kind of some of the things that people are telling us. And then from there, we're just kind of probably have some discussions about where we go from here as far as follow-ups. But, yes, we plan on numerous follow-ups.
Now, I know that the Community Associations Institute has sort of got their tail in a spin about this, but they always do. I mean, that's perfectly normal. Their reaction isn't, oh, my God, a 91-year-old lost her house because she forgot to pay $200 in fees. It's how dare you tell these anecdotal stories. They're isolated incidents, and everybody's so happy. And you see, we do an annual survey, and all our members are just ecstatic to be there.
Yes, I saw that their CEO has posted a letter to the editor on their website. I'm not sure if the Star has run it yet. If we receive it, I'm sure they will. They told me they're getting some letters in now that they will be publishing. And what their main argument was, they said they were disheartened by the extensive efforts by the author to dig up the worst stories possible from the internet regarding homeowners associations. And then also said that what we failed to mention was that independent pollsters have found that homeowners are overwhelmingly satisfied with their communities. Well, we did include that in our stories. They said that it wasn't in there, but yeah, we mentioned the poll and quoted from it. So those were their main criticisms. And then they said for the majority of Americans, their home is the largest single investment, and that using these horror stories was a disturbing attempt to instill fear and unrest in our readers. So that was the gist of it. So, and obviously I would disagree with that, because we didn't just focus on a few horror stories that I found online. We had some of our own here in Kansas City.
You also had a whole series of videos where you went out and actually talked to people.
Right, yes. We traveled to various places, and one of them was Nashville, Tennessee. And that was on the first day, where we talked to a family whose daughter nearly strangled to death on the cord on the window blinds in their house. And those blinds were required, or are required, by their homes association on all the front-facing windows in all the houses in that subdivision. And after their daughter got caught on those, and the mother heard her screaming in the night and ran in there and saw her hanging from the window and didn't realize that's what had happened, was trying to pull her down and was, in fact, making the cord tighter around her neck, and then she hollered for her husband, and they saved her daughter. But they took the blinds down immediately and put up curtains, And within days, they got a notice from the HOA saying that that was a violation and that they needed to use the blinds were the, quote, community standard. And they still have not backed off of that, having those window blinds. The family has been back and forth with the HOA, and they finally moved out in June. And they said they would never live in an HOA again.
Oh, this is an example of one of the very happy people, right?
Yeah, this is the one of the videos, and you'll see the video of them online.
I saw that. And that reminded me of a story. We have a huge subdivision here in Northern Virginia called Little Rocky Run. And radio hosts dubbed it Little Rocky Russia when they went after a homeowner 30 years ago for having pink flamingos in the yard. But they also had a story. The developer puts in these mullions. They're plastic. They put in the windows, but they just pop in these plastic grids. It gets hot in the sun, and the plastic melts, and the windows were almost down to the floor. This woman had a little baby who was crawling and could pull herself up on the window, pop these mullions out, and would chew on the ends, which is what babies normally do. So
yeah.
She took them out. Oh. Well, then the Little Rocky Russia Homeowners Association inspection team, made up of two guys who had nothing better to do in their lives, was marching down the street, and they're looking, yes. Perfect. The house is good. Oh, my gosh. We get to this house, and there are no mullions. None of these plastic grids in the windows. And so they send them a letter. They didn't care that the baby could get choked on these stupid things. They insisted that those stupid things be put back in. I don't remember what happened. This goes back a number of years. You know, I've been doing this for so long, Judy, that, I mean, I've got so many stories.
Yes, I can't imagine, because I've heard from, just like I said, hundreds already, and that's just in a short amount of time.
Of course, you also had the swing set. You also... and
yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're the tree houses, they're kids who are fighting cancer, and then the parents have got to drop everything and fight the idiots in the HOA.
Yes, the swing set case, I think that received international attention, actually, and that was a fairly recent one that happened last year. And that family had gotten actually it was a used swing set for their daughters, and they decided to fix it up, and the daughters wanted to paint it purple, and so they put a purple stain on it, and pretty quickly they heard from the HOA's Architectural Control Committee, and they told them that they hadn't gotten prior approval, so they fined them $200. Well, the family appealed that, and they actually won on that, and they dropped the fine, but then the next thing they know, they hear from the HOA, and they said, we don't like the color. It's not in harmony with the other colors of the neighborhood. And so they ended up telling them they had to change the colors, and the family refused. And they said they really weren't given good direction on what color it could be anyway, but they took them to court, and they had a bench trial before a judge, and the family ended up winning. But they said it cost them $4,000 in legal fees, basically to keep their swing set.
And I guess the HOA did not have to reimburse them, huh?
I don't know. They haven't, because there's a GoFundMe page that's set up to help with other people's fees, I think, that are dealing with similar issues. So no, they did not. And I'm not sure if Missouri law allows that. They're on the Missouri side. In Kansas now, you can ask or request that the judge order that to happen, the legal fees, if you win your lawsuit.
In Virginia, it says the prevailing party is entitled to reasonable attorney fees and court costs. So
okay.
The judge has to approve it. You have to ask for it. The judge has to approve it.
Yeah, you have to request.
And
okay.
The cases that we've had recently in Virginia that I know of where the homeowners won, they were awarded every penny that they asked for, which meant that this came out of the HOA coffers. And in one case, they actually, the HOA declared bankruptcy. They didn't have any money left, which was great.
I've heard from a lot of people that have said that, they've spent tens of thousands of dollars on legal fees. And in fact, I heard from a man this week, and I will follow up on, who said the case has gone on so long, and he said it was up to $400,000 in attorney's costs.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard of people who've spent upwards of $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just sheer ludicrous. I mean, how does that protect property values?
Well, that's a question a lot of people are asking.
How, you know, ask CAI, interview Skippy Skiba. Say, hey, Tom, how does this work? Hey, Skippy, you keep telling me it protects property values, but here's so-and-so from such-and-such a place who spent so much money, and so-and-so from such-and-such a place, and so-and-so who lost her home, and so-and-so who's been fined into oblivion. How are they being protected? Explain that.
And a lot of the people I'm hearing from seem to be elderly.
Yeah.
Or people that, and that's one thing that I've been hearing from some of the people who have been critical. They said that this is one person said this was a privilege issue, that HOAs are enclaves for the wealthy. And I don't think they understand that that is not the case at all.
No, they're not. I mean, they're building, you know, Habitat for Humanity is building HOAs. And this is an organization that's providing housing to people who cannot afford housing. And then they're putting them in charge of maintaining the roads and sewers and streetlights and sidewalks and all the infrastructure. And these are people who can't save up to buy their own places. I'm not saying that they don't deserve a house. They do. But don't put it in an HOA.
And that's another thing that from some of the comments I'm getting, I'm hearing from quite a few people that say, well, if you don't want to live by the rules, don't live in an HOA. And I don't think these people understand that in some areas there really aren't a whole lot of other choices.
Judy, they understand it. That's the industry. Those are the industry members that are writing to you, and the board members who've been sort of brainwashed by the managers and attorneys they live in. Well, if they don't like it, they can move. That's a standard response. It's not the homeowners who are doing that.
Now, I've had a few homeowners who have written and said, well, I really feel like I learned a lot from the story, but my HOA is just great, and mm-hmm. everything's really nice, and the board members are really wonderful. And, you know, I guess, that's fine if that's going on right now, but, you know, like a lot of people we've talked to have said, it just takes one board member to get on there that can really upset everything. And that happened in the case of Sergey Peklin. We have a story about him
yeah.
in the series,
yeah.
and he had purchased a condo. He was living in a condo in Boca Raton, and he was the man who had immigrated here from Russia. He'd been injured. He'd had a lot of health problems from the Chernobyl nuclear accident back in 1986 when he was he had to go help relocate civilians that were injured, and then they moved over here. He had all these health issues, and his doctor recommended an emotional support animal. And so he got this little dog, 9-pound Yorkie. He named her Julia, and he just loved that dog. And as his health got worse, you know, he just went, that dog was everything to him. And his condo association had approved it. No pets were allowed, but they approved an accommodation for him. And so he had the dog, but then one resident that lived, they said, on the opposite side of the building, and the dog was a hypoallergenic dog, but one resident started complaining when a new woman, a different board president, came along. She sided with that man, and they took him to court, and he ended up losing the dog. And the judge had ordered an injunction that the dog be removed, but Mr. Peklin couldn't stand being away from her, and he brought her back, and so he was about to be found in contempt of court. And the day before the court hearing, he went into his bathtub and shot himself. And so, you know, this new board member, even though they had affidavits from the four previous board members saying that they had allowed the dog, the new one came along, and that caused the problems.
There's a fair housing issue there as well. You cannot discriminate mm-hmm. against certain groups of people.
The family they filed a lawsuit in federal court, and the lawsuit was actually just settled in June. So the terms are confidential, but they settled a few weeks before the trial was supposed to start.
How many confidential settlements did you run into in all of this? Do you know?
I don't know how many, but most of the ones that resulted in settlements were confidential. Most of the times, I mean, the people can only say that they were satisfied or pleased with the results, but that's how a lot of them are. I wish there was a way to find out how many lawsuits there are across the country, but it's almost impossible because they're filed in so many different venues. Some of them go to small claims court, some of them go to district court, some are federal cases. So it's just got to be a large, large number.
Well, I think there seems to be this push towards alternative dispute resolution. So they'll send you to mediation or they'll send you to arbitration. And
right.
Those cases are not public. And
right.
They can insist on a confidentiality clause. And I keep telling people, don't accept it. Don't accept it. You know, the HOA and the board don't want the details to get out. So they're not, you know, call their bluff. Just say, look, there's no way I'm going to accept this.
I know there's several states that are talking about going to, like you said, requiring arbitration before the lawsuit. So that's maybe going to become more of an issue.
So you look at how much they're claiming that it's costing homeowners to live in an HOA. Nobody is looking at all the money that's being shunted across under the table in confidence because they don't want people to know about it. And think about this, Judy. You live in an HOA, your board does something ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say I'm your neighbor and I sue the board and the board agrees that there's no way they're going to win in court. So they'll agree to a settlement. And they will take your money and pay me off as long as I don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no idea where that money is going. And then they're going to come to you with a special assessment because the pool needs to be refurbished or the roads are falling apart or they need to put on a new roof. How much of that is because they didn't adequately fund the reserves? How much of that is due to embezzlement, and how much of that is due to confidential clauses where they've actually settled a case?
Yeah, this whole reserve issue was fascinating, and I think that was one of the issues that has surprised a lot of people that I've heard from. And in talking to a lot of the housing experts, some of them are saying this could be the next housing crisis because studies have shown that nearly three-fourths of the HOAs are underfunded, and that, in fact, I talked to some people who said they didn't even know what a reserve study was, and so we were telling people to ask your HOA how much is in the reserves, because that's a question a lot of people don't even think about. And then to have these special assessments slapped on you, people in some of the condo associations we've heard about, those can be up, you know, $10,000 to $20,000 or more to have to come up with something like that. And as these HOAs age and the condos, a lot of them were built in the 70s and 80s, so they're all getting, a lot of them getting older. Those issues are going to be coming up even more in the future.
I had, I talked to Tyler Birding, and I don't think I saw his name anywhere in any...
No, so but I know who he is, yeah.
Okay. And the first time, and Tyler's been on a number of times, and he has been raising the issue that a lot of, especially the conversions, where they started out as apartment buildings, and then when you had the boom, they converted them to condominiums. So you're already starting off with something that's old, and there's no reserve funds built in. And he was concerned that we were going to run into some serious problems, and he had an absolute right. I said, but Tyler, how much of that is due to the lack of funding, and how much of it is due to embezzlement? Because we're hearing about these stories. Millions of dollars are being embezzled. And he says, embezzlement? I've never heard of that.
Really? Because if you just Google HOA embezzlement, you can find stories. I mean, it's amazing all the stories that you'll come up with. And in fact, we have a case right here in Kansas City that developed as I was working on this. It's a 77-year-old woman, a real estate agent,
mm-hmm.
who is the treasurer of her HOA, and she's been indicted by a grand jury on embezzlement. And that one's, it hasn't been resolved yet, so... Yeah, that's just one that we came across here.
Well, you know, to be fair, when this happened, we hadn't been hearing so much about them. I mean, now you can see an embezzlement story on almost a daily basis. But
yes, and I think with social media, that has really, you know, helped spread the word too. With blogs and websites and even there's petitions to Congress now where you can look at and people put comments on there. I mean, there's just so much. There are so many stories out there now that are available.
Well, there are a lot of stories, and you do get a lot of that stuff, but I still think that the embezzlement stories are the tip of the iceberg.
Mm.
And the reason I say that is because I think a lot of HOAs will keep it under wraps because they don't want to devalue property. Oh, my God. If people knew that our manager or our president or our treasurer embezzled $500,000, then nobody's going to buy in here, and our property values will go down. I mean, what a tool to have to just shove everything under the rug, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I had that issue, and we'd heard about the one here, but the man who had called about it didn't want to tell me the name of the HOA because he wanted to wait. He wanted to wait and see what happened first, and so we kind of had to find a creative way of figuring out which one it was.
Oh, so.
And you also said people, yeah, they don't want to talk about that. But another thing I came across was people that have had problems and have a story to tell are still living in their HOA, and they're afraid to talk about it out of fear of retaliation. I've come across that quite a bit, too.
Yeah, and how about neighbors who I really support Judy. She's a great gal, and she's absolutely right. But if I say anything in her defense, they'll come after me.
Oh, yes. That's going on one of the stories ones we just wrote about. So, yeah, it really does sometimes turn neighbors against neighbors.
So what was the biggest surprise when you were doing this? Was there something that jumped out at you and you thought, oh, my gosh, I didn't realize this was happening?
You know, I think the numbers, for one, the statistics on how many people live in HOAs and how common they are, that was a surprise. The power that they have, the power to file liens and take you to court and even foreclose, that was a real eye-opener as well. The whole issue of reserve studies was a surprise also. And I think just the number of stories out there of people that have had problems, I had no idea that there were that many.
So you must have filtered the stories. You must have talked to a lot more people and had a lot more stories than you had room to tell, right?
Yes, we did.
How did you choose the ones you told?
Well, that's a good question. Some of them we wanted to have a mix of local and national ones, so that was one of the deciding factors. Also, some of them, you know, I know people get tired of the word horror stories because not all of them are horror stories. Some of them were just like the story about Nancy Henschel and her dinosaurs, and I think you've had her on your show before.
Oh, yeah.
some of them were, you know, that one was just kind of a more of a fun story about how some people get creative with the ways that they fight back with their HOA. Nancy had some issues in her HOA in Sugarland, Texas, had lived there 19 years, and she said that they were very particular, and she'd been written up for things like a crack in her driveway, and she said they would actually measure the cracks. And so she had gone out to Arizona and had seen a couple of these sheet metal dinosaur statues and a couple years earlier, and she decided she really needed to have those. She thought they were works of art. So she brought them back, put them in her front yard, and they were pretty large, too, and they became the talk of the neighborhood. But she, of course, got a notice of violation, and so she found a loophole in the HOA rules that said you could have celebrations, items representing celebrations or decorations for 3 days at a time. So she would go on the internet and find a holiday or some, you know, she said every day you can find a holiday or a celebration of something. And so she would print that out, what she was celebrating, put it in the dinosaur's mouth. and then she also then loaned them out to people so they would kind of get to go traveling around the neighborhood. And she said some people did that as well. So it was hard to keep up with them. So her story was just kind of a more fun story. But she said it was also serious because she wanted to point out, use that story to point out what she called were the abuses of bully boards and HOAs. They have recently moved, and they're now on a property that doesn't have an HOA. And she said the dinosaurs went with them. So that was a story that was more of a lighter side, showed a lighter side of it. But then we also showed some of the more serious stories, like the suicides. We had several of those mentioned, and also some cases where people that had become so frustrated and angry at their HOAs that they actually killed board members.
Yeah.
Those were fairly highly publicized stories. So it's kind of all across the board. We had the 91-year-old lady in Texas, another Texas case, who got written up for painting her garage door a burgundy color. But the problem with that case was she'd had the colors approved the previous time she painted, and she got the trim, which was the garage door, the shutters, and the front door were all considered trim. So they approved that color. But when she repainted last year, it turned out that the HOA had a new rule that said garage doors weren't part of the trim. They were now part of the house color, and so she was supposed to have painted it the off-white. So she's in a dispute with her HOA over that right now, and she's lived there almost 40 years. So lots of different kinds of stories. I think we were trying to get a variety that from the serious to the kind of funny, but, you know, and absurd. That's what we were trying to do.
Oh, you can find a lot of absurd stories out there. As you know.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
You sort of wonder, wait a minute, where are these people? You know, have they been smoking funny cigarettes or something to even consider some of this stuff?
Yeah.
Judy, here's something that I think most people don't realize is that, you know, you're talking about the paint and the colors and all of that. That has to go with the declaration.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often board members will act ultra vires or outside the scope of their authority.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not in the governing documents for them to decide whether garage doors are now considered trim or not, you know, they may not have that authority
right.
to do that.
Right. In fact, we've had calls from people that have said that they can't find it anywhere in the declaration.
So exactly. And so people don't realize this. Even board members don't know it. I mean, I had a board member who sat here, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I go, no, you're not. You don't have that authority. But in my brother's neighborhood, and they do this. I go, well, in your brother's neighborhood, maybe it's in the declaration. Maybe it's not. But maybe it is, but it's not in ours, so you're not going to do it. And
yes. Another thing we came across is just, and this comes from quite a few we've heard from, is they're not consistent with how they enforce the regulations either. So there's a lawsuit going on. Actually, it was just dropped a few weeks ago, but. In this one HOA, they'd had a board that was very lax, and in fact, they weren't even collecting the assessments or the annual dues for a few years, people said. Well, then some people had put covers over their decks and put fences up and never had to get it approved because there was nobody really to approve it. But then when this new president came along and this family went ahead and put a deck up because they'd done a fence with no problem, or they put a cover over their deck, they told them they had to take it down. And the new one, the president came in and was very rigid. Although he let some people keep theirs, he went after this one and filed a lawsuit and everything. So, yeah, those kind of issues have popped up quite a bit, too.
There's a case out of Texas, and if you're going to be doing a follow-up, let me know. and I'll put you in touch with the attorney here. And because it's really funny. I mean, if you want to take a sad story and just insert a whole lot of humor into it, This will do it. But apparently, a dormant HOA it had died. I mean, there was an HOA, and they hadn't done what they needed to do legally, and the HOA died until you had a few people who came and decided they were going to be the board. And they were going to start throwing their weight around, and they were going to start telling people what to do and what not to do, and start charging people and fining people, you know, the usual stuff. But
right.
They didn't have the authority to do that. So this attorney went to, and Bill Davis, I mean, he told the story on the Commons, so, you know, it's been out
uh-huh.
there. But he said he went to, he wanted to go to one of the board meetings. And he got the address, and he and his client went, and it was a trailer in a church. I think it was a church parking lot.
So for the board meeting?
Well, it gets even better than that. It gets even better than that. So he goes in, and it's a AAA meeting that's going on in the trailer, but he has to go through the AAA meeting to get into like a closet-sized room in the back, which is where the board was meeting.
Oh my! Now that's a new one.
I know you don't hear that too often, but you know what? Board members do things like that, and then they whine that nobody comes. Oh my gosh! Nobody ever attends the meetings. It's apathetic homeowners. It's their fault that we're so screwed up. But can you imagine having to plow through a AAA meeting to go to?
No, that is very interesting. And you mentioned that. The complaint that nobody ever attends, and I've been to a few of the board meetings, and that's what they say. They really wish people would come. On the other hand, I've talked to people who said that they don't come because they feel like they have no say and it doesn't do any good. I mean, you've got both sides there, but I know one of the things that we've put some tips out that people should be asking about, and people, I don't think people are aware that because they are a member of the HOA, they're a member of the corporation, they do have the right to ask for the records and to see the financial records and documents and meeting minutes. So, and that's one thing that we've heard from as well. People say that they've asked for those and they're not giving them over. So, you know, there's still a lot of problems and issues to resolve with some of these.
Even under court order, they're not giving them over. So that's, you know.
Well, that happened in Quivira Falls, which I know you've talked about that probably on your show before.
Oh yeah, Nina's been on, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know that was an extreme. That is an extreme case, but you know they had the same president for more than two decades,
yeah.
And apparently kept if he kept any records at all, they were shoddy records, and that's even coming from the current board president, who described them as in shambles. But they tried and tried to get the records, and they ended up going to court, winning their lawsuit, and still did not get anything. So yeah, that has happened in other cases as well, but this one is definitely extreme.
In another one from the archives of my mind, there was a story, and I think it was in Texas, where the HOA was just falling apart. And some of the homeowners went to the board and said, you know, we can't use the swimming pool. It's all slimy. It's green. The grass hasn't been cut. And yet everybody is paying their assessments. Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't have any money. Why not? Where's the money going to? Well, it's just we just don't have any money. So they asked to see the financial records, and they were told there weren't any. So this guy managed to convince the attorney general or the local attorney to request the records. And he finally, I guess like a nagging toothache, you finally get attention. So he finally, the attorney went to the board and said, all right, I want to see your financial records. They told the attorney they don't have them. They were lost, or you know, whatever the problem was. So the attorney went to the bank and asked for the canceled checks. This was back in the days when you did have canceled checks.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw where the money was going. It was all going to pay off the board members' individual business expenses.
And he was able to prove that, confirm that.
Well, yeah, I mean, the checks were made out to, you know, whatever their own private businesses were.
Right.
But it's when you actually get, you know, the real government involved. They don't want to get involved, but when you do get them involved, they can go in, and even when they get this song and dance about, oh, we don't know what happened to the records, there was a fire, they were stolen, we lost them, they were in the back of the car and somebody took them, they've come up with all kinds of excuses. They were able to go to the bank, get all the canceled checks, and find out exactly what had happened.
I believe that was a proposal in the Kansas law that was passed in 2010. There were hearings this year to add some more teeth to that law, and I know they talked about having an office or someone in the Attorney General's office to handle complaints about HOAs. But there was a lot of criticism from the CAI person who testified, and people said, well, they'll just be getting, you know, whiny calls from neighbors and things like that, and it'll just inundate their office, and it was a waste of time. So that didn't go anywhere. That bill is probably going to, a newer version of that proposal will probably come up in this next legislative session.
You know, Judy, we've been talking about fixing HOAs. We've been talking about adding teeth and adding ombudsman and adding laws and adding all of this stuff. What we never do is find out whether or not this is a viable form of housing and whether we should continue building them. And if there's anything good in there, is there another way of delivering it without having all of these complications?
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I, in talking to people, some have said we need to just abolish them altogether. And other people said, well, that is never likely to happen. So that's just a whole another debate that I guess you know, we need to have, and I think you've talked about that as well. And some people have talked about making special districts and tax districts and things like that, giving it back to the cities. I don't know what the answer is. I guess we need to do more research on that.
Why does life have to be even more complicated than it already is?
That's a good question.
Why do we have to go around making life even worse? I know. The fact is that the existing HOAs are not going anywhere. They're there. But do we have to keep building them? Mm-hmm. It's a flawed concept. It's a failed system. Why do we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again? Isn't that the definition of stupidity?
You know, that there, I guess one of the things that I've been trying to do is talk to lawmakers and members of Congress and to see if there are any proposals coming up, and that we'll be doing some more of that as we go. But it seems like a lot of people are just now becoming educated. When I was at the hearing in Kansas in February where they were talking about putting more teeth in the bill, one of the state lawmakers said he was amazed to find out that he said he had some complaints and concerns about possible embezzlement in or mishandling of money in an HOA from a constituent. And so when he contacted that HOA's attorney, the attorney told him, well, there's no regulations on HOAs. And he said his jaw dropped was what he told the legislative hearing when he heard that. So I think people are surprised to see that there are a few regulations on them.
Well, they're surprised, and they do know what's going on. They do understand, but they don't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time when people would contact their legislators, and they would give them my phone number. Mm-hmm. This is back when I was the only one active in that.
Uh-huh.
What can I do? Call your legislator. Well, you did, right? And your legislator said, oh, I don't know anything about that. Call Sue. I mean, yeah, I can give you legislation, but you've got to enforce it. You can't, mm-hmm. you know, you can't keep putting on legislation, expecting the homeowners to enforce it for you. But that's what's happening,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
and a lot of the bills that some of the laws that have been passed, you know, one of the bigger complaints I've heard is they're either not enforced or they don't have enough enforcement power, or they'll pass a law and not give authority to enforce it. So there seem to be some issues with some of these.
They open a door, and then CAI comes in and moves the word, or adds a comma and changes the entire meaning. And I think the homeowners who fight that or who propose the legislation are just not sophisticated enough to understand what has happened. They get, oh, okay, so they've put a comma in there. Big deal. But then
I know there was there's an issue in the one in Overland Park that we were talking about, where I talked to the board president and he said, well, they're misinterpreting that. And he did mention they're missing the comma. So that really does happen. There's one comma can change. They say change the whole intent.
Yeah. And so that's what we've been running into, is the fact that once you've got legislation in place, and sometimes the homeowners will push for it. And I say, don't do it. Just don't do it. But they insist it's going to protect us. No, it's not. The mandatory binding arbitration is one that a number of homeowners across the country are pushing for, and it's terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. And they just won't see it. Oh, but it's cheaper. But it's not cheaper. But once
and you said most of those are in secret, too. Is that the...
Oh, yeah, there's no, I mean, if you go to court, unless the judge actually seals the case, you can go to court and read any case
right.
that comes up. It's public information. That's not the case with ADR. And what happens with ADR is you're hiring someone, and they say, oh, well, you can pick your own arbitrator. Yeah, you can. You can pick your arbitrator. The HOA can pick their arbitrator. You can like this guy, and you can say, yeah, I'll pick this guy. The arbitrator knows that you're likely not to be back, but the HOA probably will be back. So they're going to find in favor of the HOA because they want to make sure that the next time they're chosen, the HOA goes for them. If they find against the HOA, then the HOA is going to go, oh, no, we can't handle that guy. But the other thing, too, that I discovered that I was just shocking, I know some places like JAMS in California is made up of retired judges, but in a lot of cases, an arbitrator does not have to know the law. Oh, well, it's reasonable. They're protecting your property value. So what? Pay them $10,000. And then you can't talk about it.
Some people have told me, and maybe it sounds Pollyanna-ish, but they said, if you have a problem, why don't you just start with your neighbor and going and talking to them first before going to the board and reporting them, and then it escalates to a lien or a lawsuit. So...
That's true, and in fact, we were talking about Nancy Hanchel. She said when she put up her dinosaurs, all her neighbors came. It was the first time in however many years.
19 years. She said she talked to more neighbors then than she had in all the years she'd been there.
Yeah. And so there's nothing community about these things, is there?
Well, that's what people are telling me in a lot of the stories I'm hearing, and just being paranoid and worrying about if you do get a violation, wondering which neighbor might have turned you in. Those were some issues that came up as well.
How many people have been afraid of going to the mailbox, answering the phone, opening the door?
Yes, in fact, in the stories you'll see a woman from Tennessee who I talked to was a very sad story that had been written up. She had a medical condition and couldn't take, it made it hard for her to haul the trash cans to the back of the house like they kept hounding her about and threatening to sue. And then her children had made two bird houses, small bird houses, and she put them in front of the garage, and she'd been written up for those as well. And one day she said she was afraid to even go to the mailbox, and one day she said she just couldn't handle it and took an overdose of pain pills.
Yeah, she was supposed to be on
suicide attempt.
She was supposed to be on the show that day, and she was a no-show. And I found out she was in the hospital having tried to commit suicide. Yeah. And that's a young mother with two kids, two small kids.
Yes, she has, I think, three, she said now. Yeah, children. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Judy, I know you are just really busy. I want to thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank you and the Kansas City Star for doing what you're doing. You are angels.
Oh, thank you, Shu. I appreciate it.
And I want to thank you for all the hard work, and thank you for taking time out to join us today. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure.
Thanks. And thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.